Amen. Giving all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryan, to Minister West, to Deacon Andrew, to our deacons, officers, members, friends, and family, all that is present. We do thank God for this, another expression of his kindness, because we got enough sense to know that we wasn't good enough for God to allow this time to run on in our lives. But because of his grace, he's allowed us to see one more day, one more month. And for that, we ought to be grateful. This month of December, our theme is, what are you thankful for? Be mindful of those things that we are thankful for. We know, we realize we live in a world where it could be better. Amen. That's why we get up every morning, because we can make it better one day at a time. And so we're looking forward to God continuing to bless us. We had a wonderful time with the Child Development Center on Wednesday. Amen. Amen. Any activity that I can bring my grandson to and burn a couple hours is a great, great activity for me. Amen. Throw in a few snacks and candy. By the time 9 o'clock rolled around, he's good to go. So we thank the Child Development Center for the Fall Festival and for Ebenezer for your participation, not only in presence, but also in prayers. This morning, we would like to call your attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. And we would like to begin reading at verse 19. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of Luke, these words are recorded. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. We read into your hearing Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. We ask that there be a blessing to the hearing and doing of God's word. We would like to use as a subject this morning simply a question. And the question is, do you remember? Do you remember? One of the most recognizable activities of the church is what we call communion, the Lord's Supper, a ritual, a ordinance, a sacrament that Jesus established on the night in which he was betrayed. As the disciples had gone through the traditional Passover supper, at the end, Jesus instituted a whole new ritual, a whole new sacrament, an ordinance of the church. It was not a suggestion. He didn't make a motion and wait for anybody to second it. No, he simply made the command, do this in remembrance of me. It's kind of striking to me that of all the things that Jesus would call us to remember, he calls us to remember his sacrifice for our sins. This was not instituted for the world at large. This was not instituted for the population at large. No, Jesus gave this institution to those who believe. In fact, across all time and history, believers have been invited to the table in order to partake of both the bread that represents his body and the wine that represents his blood. Now you can, there's difference in denominations, there's difference in culture, there's difference in regions, but yet every church in obedience to Jesus do this in remembrance of him. Now some of us squabble about how often you ought to do it. Some say you ought to do it at least once a month. Then there's some that say you ought to do it at least once a week. And then there are those that say that believers ought to practice the communion every single day. But no matter how often you do it, communion is uniquely Christian. You can call it the Eucharist. You can call it the Holy Communion. It's the Lord's Supper. But we all are called to do it. Have you ever took out time and wonder why? I mean, why would Jesus put his flag on this mountain? Why would Jesus make this the ritual for us to practice? He in fact says, do this in remembrance of me. What could cause the followers of Jesus to forget about the Lord? What could cause those that believe in him, what could cause them to suddenly forget him? What can happen? What trauma, what event can occur that could cause the believer to forget the one who saved his soul? I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but this morning I've been racking my brain. I can't imagine ever forgetting what the Lord has done for me. In fact, I don't need a reminder once a month. I don't need a reminder once a week. Every day when I wake up, I am reminded that the Lord woke me up this morning. And the Lord started me on my way. Now, if Peter would have wrote this, I would have said Peter had some fears. Peter is human. Peter is short-sighted. If Paul would have wrote this, I could have said Paul was human. Paul was working with the Gentiles. But it is a command from the Lord, because the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. Yes, we can stand here and proudly declare we'll never forget. Yes, we can stay and shout from the top of our lungs, we shall never forget. But brothers and sisters, you haven't lived through everything. There is some heartache that can cause you to forget. There is some pain that can cause you to forget. There is some incident. God can take away the right person out of your life, and it'll cause you to forget what the Lord has done for you. But in obedience to our Lord, we gather around the table on the first of every month so that we will never forget, so that we will remember. And so this morning, brothers and sisters, I just want to know from you, do you remember? Do you remember the sacrifice the Lord has done for you? Well, I think the first thing you ought to work on is why. Do you remember why? Do you remember why the Lord had to die? Do you remember why the Lord had to make a sacrifice? Because we were lost in sin and had no way of getting out. You couldn't be good enough to get out. You couldn't serve enough to get out. You couldn't give enough to get out. The debt was too much for us to pay. He paid the price for us. That is why we come together. It's not because he paid all my bills. No, I still got some of those. It's not because he made me healthy and whole. No, I still got to deal with sickness. No, it's not because everyone that I love get to live forever. No, I've had to bury some loved ones. The reason why is because he died for our sins. He died for that reason that separated us from God. We were separated from God and had no way of getting back. But thanks be to God that he found a way through Jesus. Jesus is our way to the Father. Jesus is our way back to our Creator. Jesus is our way to heaven. All of my loved ones that are gone on before, I look forward to reuniting with them. Why? Because of Jesus. That is why we come together to celebrate communion. And you know, there's a lot of other reasons why. I don't know what your personal reason is, but let me share with you one of my personal reasons, and hopefully it'll prime the pump in your own mind. Hopefully it'll remind you to remember what the Lord has done for you. You know, the single event that makes Jesus stands out for me beyond all others is that he has split time in two. You can say what you want about Muhammad, but Jesus dates Muhammad. You can say what you want to say about Confucius, but Confucius is dated by Jesus. Before Christ, everything was dated B.C. After Christ, everything is dated A.D. Everything that you have is dated because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, and because there were those that believed, time itself split in two. That we date everything. My life and your life is dated by the Lord. That is why I'll never forget, and I will forever remember what he done in our lives. Not only are we to remember why, but secondly, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say just remember the sacrifice. But remember who gave the sacrifice. It's not just to remember the crucifixion, because there were two others that died that same day. But we remember Jesus because of what he has done in our lives. See, at some point as a believer, you got to have your own personal encounter with the Lord. And so the question for us today is, do you remember when you first heard the Lord? Do you remember when he first called you out of darkness into the marvelous light? Do you remember when you first heard that he loved you? Do you remember? Again, let me prime the pump for somebody here this morning. Because I grew up in church. I grew up in church and heard about Jesus all of my life. And then one day my parents put me on a plane and sent me, in the words of my big mama, to a far off country. I landed in that far off country all by myself, full of gusto and pride and ambition, but no friends and nobody to talk to. I spent Monday all by myself. I spent Tuesday all by myself. I spent Wednesday all by myself. I was getting up at 6 o'clock, going to breakfast, then go back to the room and lay down, and then get up at 11 to go eat lunch, then go back to the room and lay down, and then go back to eat supper at 5, and then go back to my room and lay down. And the only person I had talked to was the lunch lady, and by Wednesday, she was telling me to just go on. And that Thursday, I decided to take my burdens to the Lord, whom my parents had been telling me about. I went to the Lord and said, my mama said that you be a friend when I am friendless. I'm calling on you right now because I need a friend. I got up off my knees and walked back into the dorm room. And as I was walking down the hall, doors started opening up. They came running out the room asking, are you the one in the last room? And I said, yeah. They said, come on in here, man. We've been trying to get to know you. The guy across the hall said, come on in here, man. We've been trying to get to know you. I said, hold on a second. I got to go to my room for a minute. Because not only have my parents taught me how to pray, my parents taught me how to throw up your hand and say, thank you. When the Lord answer your prayer. Now I gotta tell you, when I prayed, I just said, Lord, and Jesus showed up. When I prayed, I said, Lord, and Jesus came to see about me. Do you remember who touched your life? Do you remember the day that he came into your life when he made your choices and made difference in your life? Do you remember who picked you up, who turned you around, who placed your feet on solid ground? Do you remember? When you started off being ambitious, gonna make every dollar that this world had to offer, but then he turned your agenda around, and now all you want to do is witness to somebody. Do you remember? Do you remember your why? Do you remember who? Do you remember the 21st day of September? Now, some people remember their day like that. There might be somebody here today. They like Paul, they remember the exact day that the Lord knocked them off their beast. They remember the exact day that the Lord came to see about them. Some people can remember that. It was a warm, sunny day. It was this day or that day. But I don't remember the exact day. Simply because there was a whole lot of days. I think I kept falling back or something, you know. God would save me on Monday, then I'll fall back. And he has to save me again by Wednesday. I was so delusional. I was so delusional that I would party on, Friday like it was 1999, but I wouldn't go out on Saturday because I knew I had to go to church on Sunday. And I thought God didn't know the difference from when I was Friday and Saturday. Come Sunday morning. So he had to work on me. You know, some people he just touched and they got saved. No, not with me. It was a reboot. It kept resetting. But you got to remember when the Lord made a difference in your life. Now, I prayed for the Lord for a friend. First week I was on college campus. And God didn't bother me. He didn't bother me the whole 4 years I was in college. Now, preachers bothered me and my parents would bother me. But God left me alone. And then it was the end. I was graduating. My mama had already bought a dress and shoes, and Dad had already bought plane tickets. So I was going to graduate one way or other. I don't care what the school was going to say, but I was going to walk across that stage. And we had a job fair. And so we went to a job fair. And I wasn't too interested in a job in Nashville. I was trying to get back into Austin because there was a certain young woman I wanted to get with, you know. For 4 years, I've been trying to convince her to come to Nashville, and she fought it. So I said, I'm going to have to go to Austin to get with her. So I went too interested about their job fair in Nashville. I went to a couple of places, passed out a couple of resumes, and I was like, I don't want to work here. And so I left campus. I left the hotel where the job fair was, and I needed a ride back to campus. And just so happened there was a couple of Moe students heading back to campus. Share a ride. I got in the ride with them. The guy that was driving was a professed Muslim. He was Muslim. Everybody on the yard knew he was Muslim. He was Muslim. And the other guy that was driving him was Christian. He was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. He was one of those kids walked around with a cross on his around his neck and had a Bible in class. He was really, really, really saved. He wasn't just a church goer like I was. He was saved to the bone. And so here this Muslim and here this Christian in the car. I'm in the back seat. And they start talking about marriage. The Muslim was saying that you can have as many wives as you can afford. But the day that you can't afford it, you become a boy. Every man in the community treats you like a child, treats you like a boy. If you neglect your duties, nobody will respect you. Nobody will go in business with you. And as that Muslim was talking, I started thinking, you know, that makes some good sense, you know. That adds up. If you don't handle your business, then you can't have no business, no. And then all the Christian chimed in. He said, no, one man, one wife. And I was like, yeah, I remember that from my childhood. I remember growing up. I was taught Adam and Eve, so I started agreeing with him. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to have to make a side. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to decide a side. And I said, for 4 years you didn't bother me. Why you come bothering me? He said, but now you need to make up your mind. You got your education. I didn't bother you. But now you're going to have to learn of me. You can't be in these kind of debates. You can't be in these kind of disputes. You can't be undecided on who you are following. You can't be undecided. You have to make up your mind. And that day he said, learn of me. I didn't even know that was in the Bible. I had to go to Sunday school to learn that Jesus actually said those words in the Bible. And that's when I knew the Lord was the Lord. Listen, you got to have your own encounter with the Lord. It can't be nobody else motivating. It can't be because of my children. It can't be because of my spouse. It can't be because of my family and friends. I got to have a personal relationship with the Lord. If everybody else forsake me, I will still trust in the Lord. If everybody else walk away from me, I still have a friend in Jesus. I still have someone I can go to. And so the question this morning is simply, do you remember? Do you remember what the Lord has done for you? Do you remember where the Lord has brought you from? Do you remember when the Lord felt, when you fell in love with the Word of God? Do you remember when one of those stories finally pricked your heart? Do you remember what the Lord has done to the table of the Lord's Supper for one reason and one reason only, so that we can remember what the Lord has done for us? And so, brothers and sisters, when you go to the polls, when you go back to work, when you go back to school, let Jesus be a part of your decisions. Let Jesus be a part of your vote. Let Jesus be a part of your choices. Let Jesus be a part of your plan. Do you remember? He promises never to leave you. Never to leave you alone. May God bless you and may God keep you today.